It is June, and you know what that means. It's officially NBA draft month. We are 23 days away from the NBA draft and the big decision the Orlando Magic have to face. A lot of people around the NBA world seem to think they know who the Magic are going to pick. So we're going to talk to someone who knows that guy well. We're speaking to Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn today about Jabari Smith on today's Locked On Magic.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And you are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is June 1st, 2022. My name is Philip Rosenreich. I'm the site expert and editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode of Locked On Magic, we're going to talk with Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn. Learn a little bit more about Jabari Smith. I'll give my thoughts on him as a prospect coming up here before we get into that conversation. But before we do that, we want to thank you again for making Locked On Magic your first listen every single day. Obviously, big, exciting time for the Orlando Magic. We're so happy to have you on board. I saw those YouTube subscribers up above 600. Super, super exciting. If you aren't already subscribed to our channel on YouTube as well, subscribe and download wherever you download podcasts from the Locked On Podcast Network. It is your team every day. Before we get into the conversation here with Zach, just a couple of quick thoughts about Jabari Smith on my end. I'm sure I'll repeat some of them coming up later in the conversation. But to me, I have been... You know, I will continue to say this. I still don't think the Magic have pinned down who they're going to take. I don't think that they have that set. It's still very early in the process. We did get a fresh mock draft from Jonathan Givony of ESPN.com. And he seems to think what's really kind of been the consensus around the league since the NBA draft lottery took place. And that is... Everyone seems to believe that Jabari Smith is the top prospect on the board, or at least one of the top prospects on the board, and the guy that fits the Magic to a T. I have heard a lot of the criticisms and a lot of the thoughts about Jabari Smith, and I think some of them are true. I won't deny it. I've had Paolo Banchero on top of my board since the NCAA tournament. I did a mock draft, obviously, with the Locked On Podcast Network, where the Magic got the number one pick, and I took Paolo with that. But I would say it's all really, really even. And like I said yesterday, there's really no bad choice here. I have since kind of changed my tune a little bit. I think that if the Magic were drafting tomorrow, and I think I even said this, you know, on draft night, on lottery night, if the Magic had to draft tomorrow, I think they would take Jabari Smith. The mixture of his shooting ability, which would just step on the floor immediately and make an impact for this team. His defense and his length, which, as we all know, are calling cards of this Magic team, are just too much for this group to pass up on, or just too much for this group to not put in their back pocket and not use. It is just a really, 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 really good package of skills. Now, like I've said, I think the big criticism of him is his ability to attack off the dribble, his ability to consistently get separation and get all the way to the basket. And I think those are all really fair criticisms, and one of the reasons why you might dock him some points. If you're going to pick a number one draft pick and you're hoping that number one pick becomes your star player, you expect him to be a consistent 20-point-per-game scorer. You expect him to be a guy you can build your offense around. You expect him to be a guy that can win you games late, that can step in and win big games with the ball in his hands. That's what the Magic want to see. That's what the Magic want from this player. That's what any team wants from a number one pick. And I would agree that Jabari Smith didn't really show that at Auburn. In a lot of ways, sometimes he was too passive. Sometimes he was too much on the perimeter, too much on the fringes of the game. And I think those are all fair questions for people who are not on the Jabari Smith boat. Like I said, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I don't think there's a bad choice for the Orlando Magic in this situation. And I think that's a really, really exciting prospect for this team. And we are now joined by the host of Locked On Auburn, Zach Blackerby, the man in the hot seat. He tells me Auburn's new to this basketball thing, or being good at basketball. It's been a while since the Chuck Person, Charles Barkley days. Chumo Kiki's around. We love Big Chum here in Orlando. Sure. But the guy we want to talk about is Jabari Smith. First, how you doing, man? How does it feel to be part of this number one draft pick conversation?
It's weird, man. It's weird, Philip. I mean, folks in Orlando were reaching out to me a month ago. Folks in Houston were reaching out to me. It's like, this is interesting. I've gone on to talk about NFL draft picks, but yeah, Jabari Smith is he's a talk of the NBA right now.
When, you know, obviously, you know, Auburn's kind of built its basketball program here in the last few years. He obviously had the Final Four appearance a few years ago. When Jabari Smith arrived at Auburn, you know, obviously, what was the expectation for him? I know he was a very highly rated recruit. I think he was like fifth or sixth in some recruiting rankings entering the season. But as a freshman entering this team, what was the expectation for him and what he would provide this season?
I mean, he's the highest recruited player in the history of Auburn basketball. And so there was this expectation of once he was done at Auburn, it would be Charles Barkley than him. And, you know, it may be that just with how special of a season that he had, you know, obviously leading Auburn to an SEC regular season championship and a tournament run that was a lot shorter than a lot of people wanted. But I mean, just you talk about impact on a program. Jabari Smith is it, especially if the Magic call his name. I mean, with the branding that Auburn basketball has been able to do behind Bruce Pearl, who's the best marketer on the planet, you're going to see Jabari Smith's face all over the place. Every time a recruit comes in to visit, I mean, you just talk about what Auburn fans got when Jabari Smith agreed to come to the play for the Tigers. It's a program changer. That's what a lot of people expected, and he lived up to the hype.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Auburn had such an incredible season. They were my pick to win the national championship. You know, the NCAA tournament is the cruelest
thing in
the
world.
The tournament is brutal. Single elimination tournaments stink. And I'm very happy that, you know, Jabari Smith will hopefully not have to be in very many single elimination games moving forward. But
sure.
You know, what stands out to you, you know, as an Auburn fan, what stood out to you kind of immediately about his game? I mean, we know the numbers. I'll share the numbers coming up here. But what was the biggest impression that he made when he stepped on the floor for you?
Auburn's never seen a guy like this play inside of, you know, Auburn Arena, now named Neville Arena, unless Kentucky came to town, right? And so just seeing a guy that was so smooth, and I mean, basketball just looks easier to him than the other nine guys that are on the floor, no matter who they were playing. And Auburn fans never really, I still don't think they really got used to it, even after a full season with him, just because we've never had that. And, you know, Chumo Kiki was just outside of the lottery a few years ago, as you guys know. Isaac Okoro was a top five draft pick. But those guys either peaked late and you didn't get to see it that often, or they were defensive players. They were guys that didn't really want the basketball. Jabari wanted the basketball. And it's like, okay, Auburn, all right, we got a lottery pick that finally wants to score with the basketball. And Philip, I mean, obviously when you have a guy like that, it changes your offense. And so early on in the season, Auburn had some key freshmen like Jabari Smith, and then a bunch of guys, because this was the first full season with the transfer portal rules being what they are. And so Auburn started a ton of transfer guys. And so there was this assumption of like, man, there's all this talent led by Jabari Smith. But then after that, it was like, well, how long is it going to take for these guys to get to know each other with all these transfers? I mean, they've been playing together for like a month or so before the season started. And they hit the ground running. And a lot of that had to do with Jabari Smith, because whenever Auburn needed points, they would just give it to Jabari. And even when he was covered, his release is just smooth as butter. And so, I think that's kind of, you know, what you get when you look at what Jabari Smith did at Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the numbers really speak for themselves. If my page will load, I'll be able to share them with you. 16.9 points per game, 7.4 rebounds per game, shot 42.9% overall from the floor, 42% from beyond the arc, 5.5 three-point attempts per game. It's really kind of funny that you say that the big impact that he made was that Auburn finally had a guy who wanted to score the ball, because when you listen to some of the draft experts talk about him and try and kind of differentiate Jabari between the two other guys, Chet Holmgren and Paolo Banchero, considered in the Magic's running for the number one pick here. Everyone seems to believe that Jabari's big knock on him is that he's not going to have the ball in his hands, or he hasn't shown that he can be a scorer off the dribble, or that he can be a scorer attacking off the bounce and kind of that primary score. It's kind of saying, well, this is just a really high level 3-and-D guy, which is selling Jabari short, but there's a lot of NBA people, or at least a lot of NBA draft people, who think that, you know, maybe he hasn't shown enough of that kind of star quality. In obviously only a year at Auburn, but in the year at Auburn, do you find that kind of bunk? Is that just NBA scouts looking for a reason not to like this kid, which, you know, everyone kind of does at this time of year?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. When you look at what Auburn does with Bruce Pearl, extremely guard dominant stuff. And so we mentioned some of those transfers. Auburn had three transfer guards come in, and they all were essentially starters. They all played around the same minutes. And two of those three guys, once they get the ball, they didn't pass it a whole lot. Wendell Green Jr. And Katie Johnson. Those guys just, when they got the ball, they either attacked or they shot it. And you didn't really see them do a whole lot of other things when it came to distribution. And so I don't think that was Jabari's fault. In fact, you know, down the stretch towards the end of the season, Auburn's offense really, really cooled off. And the only guy that could buy a shot was Jabari Smith. But it was this weird thing where I think Bruce Pearl wanted his other guys to have the green light and feel like he trusted them and kind of shoot out of the slump. And just they never really got out of it. And so you'd see these guards go, you know, 1-for-8 from behind the arc, while Jabari shot it, you know, 7 times. It was, you know, a crisp 6 of 7 from the floor kind of thing. And it's like, why isn't he shooting it more? And I think it had to do with him understanding the belief, I guess the mindset, whether this is true or not, but I think this was the belief was, you know, these guards need to find ways to get involved, especially towards the end of the season when you kind of want to peak in March, and Auburn didn't peak in March. In fact, that's really when they bottomed out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a lot of Jabari supporters would probably say that. You know, I would certainly say from the Auburn games that I watched, you know, no offense to the guards here, but, and college is certainly a lot more guard driven than I think the NBA will be, but it always felt like they were the ones kind of pushing the action away from Jabari, and Jabari, like, to his credit, still found ways to score, still found ways to impact games just from his shooting alone. He's going to impact a game just because he can space the floor out. You know, I always have this theory, especially about freshmen. They tend to defer to older teammates, because they're coming in new into these situations. You know, sometimes you see freshmen choose non-traditional powers just because that's where they can shine the most. But did it feel like to you that this was also a situation where Bruce Pearl was trusting, you know, older players who transferred in necessarily than over the freshmen that was kind of taking this team by storm?
Yeah. And, you know, Bruce Pearl at some point in the season, I don't remember when it was, Phillip, but he pulled Jabari inside and said, essentially, hey, it's time. Let's do this. And you saw him towards the end of the season take on a bigger role. It wasn't as consistent as folks would have liked it to be. I'm sure both the NBA draft community and the Auburn fans that are following along, I think everybody wanted more Jabari Smith. The thing that limited Jabari in all of this was his presence around the basket consistently. He was great. He's a great shooter, but he can't really engage and attack the basket consistently. And you could tell during the middle of the season, he was trying to, and it just never really happened. A lot of turnovers, a lot of just, you know, it would go out of bounds. And it's like, you know, that really seemed to be kind of the thing where it's like, I think Bruce really wanted more out of Jabari, and that just never really became part of his game.
You know, and again, I think that's part of the concern for a lot of scouts is, you know, can he be the guy that you give the ball to and score? It, from what you saw, obviously, you know, maybe it didn't work so much in the context of the season that Auburn had, but is that an area where you think Jabari can take another step up, can take another step? Now, obviously, going in the NBA is a different animal, but is this something where there are signs, at least, that he could reach that level?
I think so. I mean, this is a kid that was the first to show up to practice every day. You know, his dad's a former pro. And so, you know, Jabari talked about this as far as the way he was raised. He was taught what it takes. He was shown that literally his whole life. I mean, since he's been able to dribble, he has been willing to put in extra work in order for him to get to where he has been up to this point. And so, yeah, I think so. I mean, this is a guy that wants to be the best basketball player to ever live. That is what Jabari Smith's goal is. And he's not a dude that's just saying that. I think he's put his money where his mouth is. I mean, there were instances where after the games, he would go back out and, you know, shoot free throws and things like that. And so just this constant devotion to the craft, I think it's a big deal. And so you'd have to think once an NBA coaching staff gets their hands on him, that's only going to escalate what he's able to do, I would think.
Let's take a quick break from our conversation with Zach to tell you a little bit about Built Bar. You've been asking for it probably. I don't know if you have, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but the Built Bar granolas are here. Built granola bars come in three unbelievable flavors: chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. And if you've had the Built Bars, you know that they changed the game with their protein bars. Low calorie, 100% chocolate protein bars. Now comes 100% chocolate, low calorie granola bars. It's the best thing in the world. With 150 calories and 15 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar, Built granola bars will literally change your world. Well, maybe not literally, but they'll change your snacking world, which is pretty important too. If you've been waiting for a healthy and delicious granola bar to hit the market, this is your time. Head to Built.com right now to get Built granola bars. Again, 3 delicious flavors to try. Don't miss out. You got to get yours today. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. We want to thank you again for making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. We now need you. We have an important favor to ask you. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcast. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes a survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Thanks again for all your help, and of course, thanks for listening as well. Yeah, and of course, the other side of that coin with Jabari, and again, I think it's an emblematic of that drive, is he is already considered an NBA-level defender. Yeah. Tell us a little bit, what kind of an impact did, you know, obviously Walker Kessler is back there, who is a fantastic shot blocker, you know, another kind of late first, you know, honestly, I have him on my board for the Magic in the second round of the draft, so maybe we could talk a little bit about him then. Yeah. But what kind of an impact did Jabari Smith make defensively, and are the defensive accolades warranted?
Yeah, I mean, I think effort is a huge thing. And like, I don't care how good Jabari was offensively, if he did not put effort in on the defensive side of the floor, Bruce Pearl would not have put him on there. Like, I mean, that's just, you know, how he's built this program is with effort and with defense. And so, I mean, it's length, right? I mean, Jabari's length is just, it's ridiculous. And I'm sure you've talked about that a ton. And that's really, I mean, you look at the guy and it's like, yeah, a normal person's arms aren't that long.
Hard not to notice it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, just the way he impacts passing lanes is just such a big deal. And I think his athleticism, just to be able to defend multiple positions, is extremely encouraging as well.
You know, I don't know how familiar you are with watching NBA basketball, but it always feels like there are certain college players who, you know, the college game is very different from the NBA game. There's obviously the zone. Sure. There's, you know, obviously, I think maybe a bigger emphasis on bigs. There's, you know, the three-point lines closer in. It feels that way with a lot of these top guys. It feels like Jabari Smith is made more for the NBA game than the college game, if that makes sense. It is some of the things that maybe Jabari struggled with a little bit, you know, whether it's defensively, whether it's offensively, do you see him kind of taking what he's good at and kind of letting that explode at the NBA levels? Is he a player that is built more for that kind of space and pace of the NBA than for the college game?
I think so. I mean, especially when you look at his traits. I mean, the NBA draft is all about traits, and it's like, can this guy be a superstar in, you know, just a few seasons? And that's what the Magic are asking, right? Like, who can be the biggest, who's most likely to be a superstar of these three guys? And I just think Jabari has more of it than the other guys. Now, I've watched more Jabari than the other guys, but I think the way he starts his career in Orlando is as a 3-and-D guy, like you said, over the course of probably his first few seasons. But his jumper is ready. His defense is ready. I think he's got the athleticism. It'll be fun to see, you know, what an NBA squad does with his size, and then also, you know, eventually creating his own shot. Now, I wish I remember who wrote what I read, but, you know, can somebody, I read something the other day about, can you draft a guy that cannot consistently make his own shot with the first pick in the NBA draft? And you would know the answer to that question better than me, but if you feel like he can develop into that, which the person writing this thought that he would eventually. I think you made a good take there.
Yeah. I'm always of the opinion that you take your guy in the draft, no matter who it is and no matter where it is. And so, you know, when you're at the first pick, you're looking at who is the best player in the draft, and with the skills that Jabari has, you know, certainly the Magic need outside shooting more than anything. If Jabari Smith comes in and just hits, you know, 40% on threes his rookie year, which is a big ask, obviously. That's going to help this Magic team be significantly better, even if he doesn't become all NBA or become a regular All-Star. Just that skill alone is going to help them. I've taken to comparing Jabari Smith to another former Magic player, Rashard Lewis. He's got kind of the athletic, you know, Rashard Lewis, people forget in his Seattle days that he was a super athlete. Could put smaller guys on the block and post them up, which I know Jabari can do a little bit as well. And then we came to Orlando. He became this huge defensive player. He was able to guard the likes of Kevin Garnett and spread them out to the 3-point line and really help the Magic become the championship team that they threatened to be, or you know, the championship contending team that they were in the late aughts. You watched him a lot more than I have. Is there an NBA player or any player that kind of comes to mind when you're thinking about and trying to describe his style of play?
Yeah. And I don't watch a lot of NBA. It's pretty much all college sports for me, with the exception of the NFL. So, but everything we read about this kid, and I don't think this is accurate now, but everything we read about this kid when he committed to Auburn, and it's like, oh my gosh, he's going to stay committed to Auburn, he's going to go G League and all that, was Kevin Durant. And it's like, okay, now we've seen more of him, and it's like, he's not the best offensive player ever. Like that, obviously he's not that. But I mean, as far as physically, I think you can see where they're coming from as far as what they thought, you know, maybe when this kid was 17. But that was all the talk on the planes, right? Was before he came in. It's like, are we getting the next Kevin Durant? That's what everybody's comparing him to. Could this guy actually got, you know, could Auburn get this guy? And obviously we got him, but you know, still, I mean, there are weaknesses in his game, more than what KD had. But yeah, sadly, I'm not able to answer that as far as what we know now. I apologize, Philip.
No.
I don't want to insult your listenership.
I don't want to take you out of your expertise and out of that. So that's on me for putting you on the spot.
Dude, you're good, man.
As far as what you expect from, you know, Jabari moving forward, I'll give you this stage a little bit. Make the case for Jabari Smith to be the number one pick. I mean, it feels like, you know, at least from reporting, which the Magic don't leak anything, so it isn't coming from the Magic, that there's a lot of momentum that Jabari Smith is, you know, the betting favorite to be the number one pick. But what is the biggest case for you to say that this guy is the best player in this draft class?
I think you saw a guy that elevated the play of not just the players around him, but the entire program. You can't say that about Chet, and you can't say that about Paolo. And so I think when you look at, you know, a situation where, you know, Orlando has not been a great basketball team as of late, and you need someone that can elevate the people around them and perhaps the program, I think it's Jabari. And there's something in that kid that a trigger switches once you start to poke him a little bit, because he's a pretty quiet guy. Once you start to poke him a little bit, you know, that dog comes out and you start seeing him jawing at people. And I just don't think you really saw that with Holmgren and really everybody else that's in this draft class. I think Jabari kind of sets himself away with all of that. Because look, Jabari could have gone to Duke. Jabari could have gone to any of these blue blood schools, and he didn't, because he wanted to do his own thing. And I think that says a lot about the confidence of this kid. And I think it says a lot about what he believes in himself. I think we were playing Vanderbilt, which is one of his better games as far as offense goes. I was watching the game at home with my wife, and my wife is not a sports person. And she's like, man, number 10 just seems better than everybody else. And it's like, yeah. I think it's just that easy to see. And I don't know if you could say that about the other guys.
I want to say this in the least sexist way that I can. If a player passes the wife test,
yeah,
then he's a pretty good player. If a player gets that kind of notice from someone who's a non-sports person that isn't, you know, that doesn't know what they're watching, that's a pretty good sign of things. Mentioned that kind of competitiveness. That's obviously super important in the NBA when you're playing against the best players. It's kind of the stuff of legends when you get to the NBA. But what is sort of the hidden attribute that you saw maybe hints of at Auburn that didn't maybe come out all the time, or that, you know, observers like me that maybe drop in for a game here and there, you know, maybe watch the NCAA tournament or conference tournament games and kind of caught the big games. What's sure. kind of the hidden thing about Jabari that you notice about him when you're watching him game to game, day to day?
Yeah, I think when Auburn needed a shot, he was the only one that was really able to step up and do that. And it didn't matter if guys were on him or not. I mean, his release is so quick. And I mean, he's just so much longer than every other college player. I'm curious to see how that translates when everybody's long in the NBA. But I think it's that when the game is on the line, he's the guy that you wanted. And he did want the ball, despite, you know, what we were talking about in our conversation earlier, Philip. But this is a guy that, I mean, he's a gamer. And I don't really know how else to put that. I mean, it's his teammates believed in him from day one, despite being the youngest guy on the roster, the youngest guy on the team. And I mean, Auburn played at some pretty big moments. I mean, we were the number one team for a big chunk of the season. And it was because of Jabari Smith. Without Jabari Smith, this team does not win the SEC. This team is not a 2 seed. In fact, they may be, you know, I mean, I don't know if you're confident going into Selection Sunday if you don't have Jabari Smith on this team. So I just think elevation of a program and elevation of the team and the players around him.
Let's take another quick break so I can tell you a little bit about Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. We want to thank you again for making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. The NBA Finals obviously start Thursday. We're going to talk some NBA Finals. I will go on the record, make my official finals prediction on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Magic. But be sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast to get you ready for the NBA Finals. Every single night, the Locked On NBA podcast is getting you set for the big stories around the NBA. And yes, we will be doing some draft talk here very, very soon. Also, be sure to check out the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by our friend Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Lee Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. Your draft prep is not complete every day without the Locked On NBA Big Board podcast. Check it out today, wherever you download podcasts. Yeah, Yeah, I mean, that's obviously what everything you want to hear from an NBA side, someone that takes your franchise, that takes your program to that next level. While I have you here, you know, there's another guy that I'd love to get your opinion on. It's obviously been a few years since he was last at Auburn. He's a guy that we all love here in Orlando. We're all still trying to get him to break out of his shell a little bit, but everyone here in Orlando loves him. But what is your favorite Chuma Okeke memory? What is something that we don't yet know about Chuma Okeke that you could share with us?
Yeah, I mean, just super athletic, right? And just a great community guy. I'm sure he's super involved in helping the community in Orlando. But you know, I guess my favorite Chuma story is actually when he got hurt in the NCAA tournament, and Auburn went to the Final Four that year, but he got hurt, and Auburn rallied around the whole, you know, for Chuma battle cry. And you saw Bryce Brown, who was one of the leading scorers that season, at the free throw line in a crunch time situation. It may have been an overtime against Kentucky in the Elite Eight. And you saw him mouthing the words for Chuma, and he made both of the shots. So I think anytime somebody brings up Chuma Okeke at Auburn, they think about for Chuma, because I mean, that's really when he started coming out, right? I mean, that's when he became, you know, a first round draft pick was the NCAA tournament. It's like, oh my gosh, where has this guy been? And then, you know, it stinks. He gets hurt. But yeah, Chuma Okeke, it seems like when he's healthy, he balls out. It's just he hasn't been able to stay healthy for long periods of time, which is a big shame.
Yeah, it really is. Whenever he's kind of had prolonged stretches of play, whenever he's been able to play consistently, like he gets that 3-point shot, he makes 3-pointers in bunches, and it's just about kind of getting him comfortable. You know, I always tell people with torn ACLs, just from my experience watching them, not having them, it's a year to recover, and then it's a full year to get back to full strength. And obviously, you had the pandemic thrown in during the middle of his recovery, and it's just kind of been slow going. It's going to be a big year for Chuma. But to that point, you know, I could tell you for a fact, everyone here in Orlando loves Chuma Okeke. Fans want more of
him. Are y'all ticked? I know a lot of people were really shocked and upset that he went that high. You know, him going probably higher than a lot of people projected him. And then also, you know, drafting a guy that was injured. What was your reaction when that happened?
I was surprised when they took him, because I had that pick pegged as the Magic need to get something out of this. Like they were coming off the 2019 playoff run. It was their first playoff in 7 years. And I was like, and they were capped out. They weren't going to be able to add anyone in the offseason. So when I approached that draft, I kind of, you know, not that I thought Chuma Okeke was a bad player or anything, I kind of didn't have him on my board because I thought the Magic needed to get an impact, a player who could impact immediately. They weren't going to be able to add players anywhere else. They needed someone who was going to come to the roster, be able to play a role. And to granted, if Chuma Okeke were fully healthy, getting him at 16 would have been a steal. Would have been a great pick. It turns out that the Magic had that idea somewhat too. They deferred him that year. They had him work out in Lakeland in the G League. And obviously it's been, you know, for the most part, worth the wait on him. Just again, the injury issues kind of messing up his rhythm and his routine a little bit. And to your point, you know, kind of the Fortuna point, everyone on this Magic team absolutely loves this kid. They love him to death. They say he's the funniest dude on the team. And like all the media members are like, huh? Like, what do you like? He's, you know, still like kind of breaking out of his shell publicly. But like behind the scenes, apparently just everybody loves this dude. You know, obviously he's got the music career going as well. And just seems like the most chilled dude. And so, you know, if you know anyone at Auburn that could tell Chuma like, hey, it's okay to be open around us here in Orlando, where we're a small town too. You know, we want more of Chuma.
Yeah, no, Chuma's fantastic. No, I mean, if Jabari goes one and he and Chuma play next to each other, I mean, just get ready. Auburn fans are loyal and Auburn fans are extremely passionate. So get ready for a massive wave of orange and blue from East Alabama headed your way.
And there's a lot of Auburn alums here in Orlando as well. And that's right. Orange and blue are kind of our colors anyway. Our blue is our primary color. Orange is our alternate jersey color for the Orange Jersey Knights. Zach, I want to thank you for coming on, telling us a little bit about Jabari Smith. Obviously, everyone here in Orlando is really excited about having the number one pick, really excited about the prospect of bringing in Jabari Smith Jr. There's obviously a lot of work to do before the draft on June 23rd. But for anyone who wants to follow you over at Locked On Auburn, tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah, Locked On Auburn, where wherever you get your podcast, you can follow me on socials at @ZBlackerby. And I cover the Auburn Tigers for Sports Illustrated. And we're writing a lot of Jabari Smith, a lot of Walker Kessler. I know we mentioned him earlier in the show as well. So if you want the college perspective, that side of it, check all that out at auburndaily.com.
Definitely check that out. I'm sure it's popping up on all my Google alerts at the least, but I'll definitely be checking that out as well. You can of course find me on Twitter @PhilipR_OMD. Subscribe to my podcast as well as Locked On Auburn on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Himalaya, Google Play, Spotify, Odyssey, all the fun places to download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. You can follow me as well on Twitter at Locked On Magic. And as for the latest on the Orlando Magic, be sure to check out OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can follow us there on Twitter @OMagicDaily. For Zach, for me, this has been Phil Rossenreich from Locked On Magic, Orlando Magic Daily. We'll see you all again next time for another episode.